The number of autistic children has been rising sharply over the past decade. The increase has been most dramatic among kids with the mildest forms of this disorder. Researchers say one reason is they're getting better at diagnosing learning and communications problems early in children's lives. But as NPR's Larry Abramson reports, early diagnosis means that educators and parents now must figure out how to educate a generation of kids with developmental delays.
Among his family members, 16-year-old David Monahan is a popular guy. The bookshelves in his bedroom are littered with souvenirs sent to him from their travels.
Here's a 1-mile squad car from my uncle's with the Illinois State Police. My sister, when she went to London, got a London bus. Got a few coins, Jamaican $100 bill.
This affection for David is no surprise. He's charming and funny and remarkably normal. With adults, David appears relaxed as can be. When he's with peers at school, it's a different story. David suffers from nervous tics and hand flapping, and as bright and verbal as he is, he has serious problems with math. David's learning problems, his social awkwardness, made him the butt of relentless teasing, like in his last school, where he says the kids were
just like pack of dogs. I mean, that's what they thrived on. That's how they build themselves up. That's like their milk.
David's parents gather around the kitchen table in their Northern California home. They have spent lots of money trying to figure out why their son can't fit in, why he has such a hard time learning. They were convinced that in the right environment, David's intelligence would shine through. His mother, Carolyn, says David has always been very bright, but he struggled with little things.
One of the issues that David deals with is sensory overload. And whenever you're placed into a classroom situation and all just the normal activities that happen in that space is more than he can cope with.
Sirens and sudden hammers or something like that. I gotta get my plugs in my ears or I'm out of there. Fire alarms. Oh boy. Woo! Yes, sir. I carry my plugs around basically as often as I can. Or I'll use my trusty indexes.
They tried public school, private school, 3 years of homeschooling. Then, in 1999, they received a new diagnosis for their son, Asperger's syndrome. That means that this chatty, engaging teenager with a wicked sense of humor is autistic. He falls on the high-functioning end of what's now referred to as the autism spectrum.
Initially, when they said, with the whole idea of you have Asperger's and what they may explain what it was, and you know, I was saying to myself, you know, all I have a problem with here is social issues. I mean, you know, I came in here asking for suggestions about how I could improve my social life, and you're giving me a label.
David and his family did accept the diagnosis. It led them here to the Orion Academy, a small private school in Moraga, California, just east of Oakland. After years as a therapist for kids like these, Director Catherine Stewart was approached by a group of desperate parents. They more or less begged her to start this school to rescue their developmentally disabled kids from social torment.
Some of them physically hurt, you know, hit with baseball bats. I mean, horrible, horrible stories. Kids spending their entire year of their lunch sitting under a picnic table. Not even sitting on the picnic table, under the picnic table. And that's how they spent their fifth grade year.
Orion does teach kids math and science and art, but a key focus here is teaching social skills, how to read facial expressions, how to control yourself, how to avoid run-ins with other students. Normal kids, called neurotypicals in the trade, learn this from one another. But Stewart believes that's where these kids are different.
The normal peers, at the best, ignore them. At worst, abuse them. Our kids can't read social cues, okay? They don't model because they don't follow visual or nonverbal information. So nothing comes across unless it's explicitly taught. So it is wasted on them. In fact, worse than wasted, they misinterpret it.
For years, kids like these have been considered odd ducks, or they've been given a variety of diagnoses that merely describe their learning problems. Only since the mid-1990s have American clinicians been handing out the diagnosis of Asperger's syndrome. Here at Orion, most of the kids suffer from Asperger's or other versions of what are called nonverbal learning disorders. Unlike kids with more severe forms of autism, these kids are very talkative and absorb lots of information. They can also stir up lots of trouble in the process.
In Germany, Hitler was regarded as a savior in many, many ways, because he put people to work.
Teacher John Howard is trying to get through one of the final days of the school year, a unit on the origins of World War II. Rather than facing the typical sea of bored faces, Howard confronts an ocean of enthusiasts, including one student who just can't wait to see Germany rebuild its army after World War I.
500,000 troops. And then the next thing he does to push just a little bit further?
Stations them on the Rhine.
Exactly. He stations them on the Rhine River. That's a big line in the sand, right?
That's wonderful, though.
Thomas, I want you to raise your hand. And then he does one more thing. Thomas? I don't want you to tell me how wonderful Germany's rearmament is, okay? Until I'm finished, okay?
This fixation on the Nazis' rise to power is typical here. These overpowering interests in the military, in baseball statistics, in Dungeons and Dragons are referred to gently as enthusiasms. And Orion has not come up with a magic pill to rein in those uncontrollable interests.
Look, your alignment would be, your evil nature would be magically suppressed.
It doesn't have to be. That's the thing.
If it's not suppressed, then you'd be chaotic evil.
No.
Yes.
It's half your base nature and half what you're brought up in.
Orion focuses on containing this energy and channeling it to something useful.
How do the animals adapt themselves to the desert?
On this day, students are getting ready for the school's first science fair, and David Monahan is determined to win. David has devised an incredibly lifelike model of the respiratory system using a hurricane lamp, some tubing, and a couple of balloons. In the early judging, David's project is deemed very cool.
This thing had to be entirely airtight. This is the trick. You hear me, have aquarium tubing, aquarium connections, and two balloons.
Okay.
I got these from a fact book. I got these from Educational Supply Store, this here. And I drew these myself off of Microsoft Art.
Nice job.
Yep.
David appears to be thriving, but the real hope is to intervene in these kids' lives earlier than high school.
Star Wars Rogue Squadron, Star Wars Rebellion, Star Wars Episode One Racer, Star Wars Battle for Naboo, Star Wars...
About 100 miles north in Davis, California, 11-year-old Nathan Puttyfoot sorts through his prized possessions, an assortment of computer games. Nathan is already a man of firmly held opinions.
I'm the one kid in this, my present school, that's not in dire fear of the rules.
Is that good? Or?
Yeah. I think actions speak louder than words. I mean, they say that you'll get in big trouble for doing anything, but you don't.
Nathan was diagnosed with Asperger's last year, after years of testing the rules at different schools and at home.
Look, there's a big wad of cat snot on the side of my computer. I thought you said you'd cleaned it. How can you keep from noticing this?
Despite or because of Nathan's high IQ, his mother Ginny pulled him out of a program for gifted and talented kids, where she says her son was ostracized and very depressed. She says her public school just didn't feel there was much they could do for Nathan.
And actually, one of the responses of the school had been, you know, he's getting straight A's. There's not a problem here. And I responded with, there is a problem here. This is a 9-year-old who's virtually suicidal. We have an issue here. But their response was that that was something for psychotherapists and not really something they could intervene in. And I had talked several times with the teacher about the bullying and the ostracizing and everything, and she was a great teacher. There was a lot of chaos. Nathan did not think she was a great teacher.
Nathan chimes in from the other room. In this, as in most things, he feels he is the expert. After pulling him from the gifted and talented program, his mom put him in a special school. He's not crazy about it.
My school really stinks, and it's extremely boring. It's way too easy.
But his mom says she had no choice.
You have to realize we were in a complete crisis. We actually got advice to institutionalize Nathan, which never in a million years was remotely an option. It was affecting everybody in our family. And my absolute immediate concern was to get him out of a situation that was clearly toxic for him.
Public schools are not always well prepared to deal with children like these. The Mind Institute at the University of California at Davis is working with public schools to develop a kind of social skills curriculum. Sometimes these skills seem insignificant. In this videotape, therapists try to coach a group of 10-year-olds on how to tell a joke.
Where do you find the most cows?
On a farm.
Wrong!
Oh, I know. In Colorado.
Wrong.
Okay, where do you find the most cows, Kyle?
New York.
These efforts are promising, but Mind Institute researcher Sally Ozanoff says it will be some time before we know how well early intervention works.
Those kids have not reached adulthood. There are no studies on them, so we really don't know what the outcomes are going to look like for children who have these very, you know, well-researched and appropriate interventions starting when they're young. None of them have reached adulthood.
For now, the best indication may be kids like David Monahan. When teacher Alan Nash hands out awards for science projects at the Orion Academy, David's efforts pay off.
So they were all great projects, and it was a tough decision. The award today for the sophomore science fair goes to Dave Monahan.
After a couple more years at Orion, David Monahan wants to attend a local junior college. For David, being identified as mildly autistic might help him realize his goal of one day starting his own business. The question is how many of his peers will be able to turn this diagnosis, this label, to their advantage. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Moraga, California.